Quest for Truth, now part of Christian Podcast Community. Podcasts.strivingforeternity.org. Now, listen to this. Merry Christmas, everyone. This is your host, Keith, and you're about to listen to some Christmas treats. Now, with me is
Nathan Caldwell. Merry Christmas, Keith.
Yeah, and best wishes to our listeners as we talk about the Christmas story. First is an installment from Isaiah and one from Luke.
Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. And the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. Because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that brings good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that brings good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. You know, Keith, the first thing I noticed here was the fact that it talks about how they have suffered and how they will receive double for their iniquity, but he says you'll be comforted. So it's very possible that it could be very possible they're what they're receiving is a blessing, more of a blessing than they had ever imagined possible. You said it better.
All right, but, because that word comfort is very important.
Yes, it is.
Why do they need comfort? Why do we need comfort today? It's because they were living in dark times. They were living in hard times. They were probably suffering depression, anxiety. Those things, don't we still have those today? And just as much as these people need to be comforted, in this case, from their iniquity and being in captivity, we need that same kind of comfort to rescue us from the captivity of our own sins today.
That's right.
There's a word in their warfare, and like in my version, it uses forced labor. But no matter how you word that, whether it's forced labor or under warfare, those are some pretty hard times, and comfort is coming to remove us from that.
And they were in captivity because of their sin. And we are in a kind of captivity as well, aren't we, Keith? Or before Christ, we are.
Right. Because we are lost in our sins. Our sins is what really condemns us. It's not a lack of faith. It's not a lifestyle choice. Flat out, it's our sin that puts us under bondage. Now, I like how this passage transitions, and it starts talking about make way the paths of the Lord, lift the valleys, flatten the mountains. You see this almost stated verbatim when you read about John the Baptist, because that was his job. to make straight the path of the Lord, to fill the valleys and flatten the mountains. And at the time Jesus came, the glory of God did appear at the time of Jesus. And everyone who was on earth at that time, they actually saw Jesus. They saw God's glory in human form. It's just, unfortunately, a lot of folks did not recognize that.
But did they not hear the voice from heaven when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased."
Right. And there does seem to be an audible voice at that time. And again, that's a sign of that God's glory, because at the time Jesus was baptized, all three persons of the Godhead were
there.
That's
right.
God was there, the Father. God was there in the Spirit, and he was there as the Son. All three at the same time.
Somebody might be like, "Well, what does this have to do with Christmas?" Well, I want to tell you something. It is so important for us to realize who this Jesus is that came down and did what he did for us. He was born of a virgin, became a human, a weak human, and so he just gave up so much, really, and just did so much. Who was this? This was God.
And the reason, again, is the first word in this entire passage, comfort. We are living in such a sorry state. We need comfort to know that there's something, a savior coming down the road. And these people were getting this prophecy here. And I like, again, how this transitions and talks about to tell him to cry out. And he says, "Why do I cry out?" And he says that all humanity and righteousness is like flower and grass. It withers and it fades. And I did notice in the King James, it says that the Spirit of God blows on them. And my version said the breath of God. But the word there is ruach. It's the same. It could be translated the way God's breath or God's Spirit.
What is he saying when he says that? Because it's like, you know, the flower fades, his breath blows on them. What is he saying there?
Well, if he's talking about humanity, people say, I'm a good humanitarian. I don't need God. I don't need Christ. Well, your humanity and your righteousness is like a flower and a grass. When God's Spirit or his breath moves, flowers fade, grass withers.
So would that be the same as saying, compared to God's righteousness, our righteousness is like Isaiah said, filthy rags?
Right.
It's gone.
Yeah, this is just another word picture of how we like to be prideful. Yeah, insignificant. That's a good word. But whenever it comes to God, he just blows his Spirit, his breath on us, and we're toast.
Yep, we're gone.
But here's the thing. Is there's good news that he tells Zion and Jerusalem, shout to the mountain. Here's some good news. He comes in power and strength and to rule. He's going to protect his lambs like a shepherd who gently gathers and carries and leads even the young, tender, nursing lamb. So God may come in force and power and wither them flowers. But for his people, it is a time of peace and being nurtured and carried gently.
You know what that makes me think of? It makes me think of when Jesus is gathered among the people and the kids start coming to him, and the disciples, they wanted to, no, don't bother him, don't bother him. He says, no, don't stop them. Mm-hmm. Bring him on.
Right, because he's here to... For his own people, there's nothing to fear. For his own people, this is the time. This is your comfort. Let's go ahead and read that passage in Luke, unless you had anything more to...
All right. Luke 1, starting in verse 26, we're going to go to 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her mind as what matter of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her.
Yeah, and just anytime God moves, he sends a prophet, he sends a messenger. And this is interesting to me because at this time, you know, John the Baptist was to be the prophet that paves the way for Jesus. But here we have an angel, Gabriel himself, announcing of what's about to happen. You know, he comes to this little town in Galilee, in Nazareth, an insignificant place for a lot of reasons. But he particularly finds this virgin of the house of David, which is important because it fits prophecy. And he tells her to rejoice, you know. Yep. And now I see that she's troubled, but she's not troubled at, you know, or fearful at the angel. She's troubled over the saying. What does this mean?
I wonder if she's like, am I in some kind of... Yeah. Did I do something wrong? And he's just kind of...
Then the angel does say, don't fear, your faith.
Right.
You know, and he goes on to say that this whole passage, you know, you're going to be the mother of the Son of the Most High, and all these identifiers to say that her son is the Christ that was promised. That he will set up his kingdom, and he will be great, and he will rule forever. And just as in that previous passage, he was prophesied as, you know, ruling and reigning forever to be our shepherd. And of course, Mary's not naive. She knows how babies are born, and she says, "How?
Right.
How is this going to be? I haven't been with a man." She knows how this works. And he explains, you know, again, the Spirit of God will move. He will overshadow you and cause this to happen, you know, in this child, and you'll be holy, conceived by holy, or however it puts that. And I guess even to give Mary a sign, the angel tells her,
right,
your relative in her old age, you know, this woman who is past childbearing age, childless.
Yeah, was considered barren.
Yeah, considered barren, which was one of the lowliest thing a woman could live, yep, with in that time and day. Her highest glory was to have a child. But this woman who was called childless now has a child, and it's growing in her.
That's right.
And the point is that nothing is impossible with the Lord. And what does Mary reply? That she is the Lord's slave, and may it happen.
Our church is going through some hard times with, you know, just lack of attendance and people not being there. And we seem to be shrinking, and, you know, we're not giving up. And last year we started putting in our bulletin, Luke 1:37, with God, nothing shall be impossible. I mean, think about what God did here. This is, this is the ultimate definition of miracle.
Yeah.
And yet he did it because that's what he needed to do. And there may be times in our lives where we can't see a way out, but you know what? God knows what he's doing, and he will do what he needs to do. And the one thing that we need is to trust the Savior, who, of course, grew up. He's not a baby anymore. Lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and rose from the dead for us so that we can trust him and be saved from the wrath of God.
And this whole reading today, the point is that no matter how bleak or hopeless things look, we can take comfort that God has something better. And I think that's our message for today's Christmas treat. Musical tracks in today's show are selections from Handel's Messiah, presented by Protectors of the Book and Quest for Truth, life-truth.com.